Hello, folks. This is Peter Schwartzman with Bruce Weick. We're conducting our first interview for Many Paths Galesburg, and we're very fortunate to have two of our region's finest movers and shakers. We've got Rick and Nicole Collins on the line, and they're going to introduce themselves to us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rick.
I'm Nicole.
Tell us a little about your farm.
Okay, sure. So we operate Shirley Amdell Farm, and we sell chicken eggs, as some people may know, locally. And then recently, we've also purchased the Armory and Old City Hall. We've got a lot of plans there. We're working on an incubator space in the old Armory kitchen, and we have occupied the drill hall now. We've got space there that's being used. We've renovated a big portion of Old City Hall, and we're working upstairs now. So we've got those two buildings that we're working on in downtown Galesburg. And then, of course, as I mentioned before, we've got our farm out here where we raise chickens and we also raise sheep.
Wonderful. And you've been delivering eggs to residents of Galesburg for quite a while now.
We have for many years. We stopped doing house deliveries, was it last year?
Yeah.
And we're selling solely at Cornucopia now.
Wonderful. And why don't you tell us just a little bit about the Trimdell business?
Well, Rick and I really believe in including family in our business endeavors. And so involving our children and other family members has been very important. And we've always pursued things that are interesting to us personally and that we're passionate about. And so family, like I mentioned, is probably the number one thing, but as that relates to community and the larger family, building on that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, since we started this business 25 years ago, you know, the emphasis has been since then on trying to utilize local labor and education, trying to utilize local materials for things, trying to utilize local resources, and to try to keep it local, which means that we don't want to just create products that we export outside of our community and our region. So, you know, our emphasis has been on community for 25 years in that regard. And whether it's been with our timber business or now with our farm business, we really believe that communities can provide from within, and that's a big part of what we're trying to do.
And what exactly does Trilly Amdell do? Because I don't know if we got that in.
Well, you know, that business has morphed into a new company now called Mezick Vale. And Mezick Vale is a timber frame and restoration company. And, you know, over the past 25 years, a big part of what we've done is not only build new buildings, but, you know, probably fully half of our work is saving old buildings. And for decades now, we've worked all across the Midwest in communities, helping communities save buildings, be able to reuse them, come up with, you know, solutions to problems. And I think really, you know, what we're about is helping people solve problems within communities.
Wonderful. Now, so you mentioned that you've purchased two downtown buildings of significance. The first is the Armory, and you briefly mentioned what you have going on there, but that was a recent purchase. So what do you envision happening there over the next year or two?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, we had some caveats with the city when we bought it. Some things that they really wanted us to do. We had a checklist of items, and part of that checklist is also working on what we call the north side of the building, which is the old classrooms and offices in the Armory. And so we started with the old kitchen. We updated it. We're working on bringing it up to code. We're thinking it's going to be an incubator space. And that's the first initiative on what we call the north side. Other than that, you know, the next phase are some bathrooms. on the first floor and opening up the first floor to some sort of retail office space. Essentially, we'd like to rent out the ground floor of the north side of the building. The drill hall, which comprises about probably two-thirds or slightly less of the square footage of that building, is being rented by Mezick Vale, and it's fully in operation. And I think, you know, really the big thing with that building, you know, what we've really done so far is stop the roof from leaking and, you know, heat it again. So we've invested quite a bit in infrastructure already, just trying to get that building out of the condition it was in, where it was derelict and basically leaking and, you know, kind of it was on its way to disintegrating from the inside out.
But
right. I mean, that's
said,
oh, go ahead.
Okay. All that being said, I feel like, well, Rick and I both feel like the structure itself was really well built, and all of the things that we've fixed, like water leaks and other things that can lead to a building's demise very quickly, have been stopped in time. And we haven't lost a lot of the fabric of the building at all. The bones are all good and it's still there. So really what we're doing is just cleaning it, fixing plaster and aesthetic things, updating mechanicals, but it's all pretty cut and dry. And I think it's beautiful space that once we clean it and make it ADA accessible and accessible to the public, it could be used for all kinds of things, up to the imagination and the boundaries of the community.
Wonderful. Yeah, and I do. I mean, as a council member, I definitely appreciate folks like you who have tremendous innovation and are willing to take risks and, you know, put your money where the mouth is and all in labor, put money in labor where your mouth is and make something, and in this case, really save something from utter destruction. The second property is the old city hall. And maybe you can tell us a little about your vision. There was a mention of a steeple and some offices. What else you might have you got going on there?
Yeah. So our story with Old City Hall was essentially that under its previous ownership, we began as renters. And when we chose to rent in that space, there were three rooms on the east side of the building that were still in the original condition, essentially the way that building had been left when the city left. And so we began as renters by renovating those three rooms and returning them to their original condition. And we loved the building so much that we made an offer and we purchased it. And so our vision going forward now is that now we're going to start on the second floor. And, you know, essentially, as we did with the armory, you know, the beginnings of all that are things like simply removing water from entering the basement, fixing the downspouts, fixing the roof leaks, fixing the windows, keeping the animals out, and things like that. And so for about a year, that's what we did at Old City Hall, plus a lot of extensive cleaning. But, you know, the short version of our vision is that we intend to be able to rent out the second floor, and we would like to see the old council chambers return to what they were before, which was essentially one large room that was about 55 by 50 with a 20-foot ceiling. The other thing that we'd like to do is to put the steeple that was taken off of the building back on. And that's roughly a 14 by 14 structure that I think is about 25 or 30 feet tall. It's taller than the existing roof. So we'd like to see that steeple go back on. And it's not something that we're terribly concerned about being able to do. We have a long history of working on steeples. We replaced the Iowa Capitol steeple, for example, when it burned in 2003. We've done a lot of church steeples. So it's not a daunting thing for us to think about putting a steeple back on that building. But we see that upstairs space, that old council chamber, potentially as a community space. And I want to go back to the armory just briefly, because we've thought about this with Old City Hall too. We do also see both those spaces potentially in some sort of artist scenario or artist loft space. So besides just thinking about the retail or office renting sort of scenario for those buildings, we think that they also lend themselves well to the art community.
Tremendous. That's really, really, really exciting. Do you have a timeline on any of that?
Well, in the spring, I set a date of April 21st to put the steeple back on in 2021.
Fantastic.
So, you know, if all goes well and the economy, you know, sort of holds together and as much as it can, I suppose, right now. I mean, I made that statement before the whole pandemic scenario. So there's obviously been an economic downturn, but we still have our sights set on that as a potential date to put the steeple back on.
Right. So Mini Pass is a project that Bruce and I started in September. And one of the things we came into the project very encouraged and very hopeful and very optimistic about, you know, everything, especially local things. And you obviously, you and Nicole are very optimistic and very forward thinking. In terms of, you know, your inspiration, I mean, you've done a lot of work around the state and other places. You draw inspiration from other communities or other events or other enterprises?
Absolutely. I have to say the clients that we've been working with are forward thinking, and they are movers and shakers in their own communities. They are masters at bringing people together for a common goal or common cause. Most of the people that we work with are also interested in building connection in their own families, resurrecting local economies that maybe kind of went bust in a similar way that what happened to Galesburg. So we've seen example after example after example of success across the nation, really. And so that we've been fortunate, and it's really given us a model to follow.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's absolutely true. You know, we've spent the last 25 years working a lot in Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin, Indiana, Kansas, and working for hundreds of communities, literally hundreds of communities, nonprofits, and boards. And like Nicole says, the underlying factor is generally there's a group of people that are very forward thinking, and they're persevering. And we've seen amazing things happen in Midwestern communities. And that really has driven us to, has given us that inspiration. We know it's possible, and it is possible. It's very possible. And it's happening elsewhere.
Well, we really thank you to be doing this and get some of these things in Galesburg. So you must see some potential in Galesburg. You want to elaborate on that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, for me, it goes back to, you know, even just being a kid. I remember my first trip to Galesburg in the 80s to buy some roofing steel for my dad. I had grown up in Toulon, about 30 miles from here. And I remember at 16 being blown away by Galesburg. I thought it was amazing. And I never really forgot that feeling. And when I decided to, you know, finally settle down and relocate myself about 20 years ago, I was 28 or 29 years old, and I intentionally chose Galesburg because of the historic fabric that it had and because of the history and even honestly, quite frankly, its location between St. Louis and Chicago and other major cities. I think there's a tremendous potential in Galesburg, and I think that based on my work since that time period, even over the last 20 years, Galesburg has incredible potential compared to even some of the communities where people are even doing amazing things.
Fantastic. Now, specifically regarding zoning and so forth and some of the projects you've undertaken, have you found Galesburg cooperative?
You know, I would say that we haven't really done enough work here ourselves, even with our own buildings, to understand where there may be limitations or not with zoning. I mean, I believe that with the work that we're doing in our two structures downtown, you know, we don't have any zoning issues currently, but I don't have enough experience in the local area in that regard to know an answer to that.
Okay. Bruce, you want to add anything?
No, that helped answer a question I was going to ask about how really we compare to a lot of the communities that you've done work in terms of zoning, in terms of enthusiasm. That pretty much helped to answer that.
I would take that a step further, I do spend a lot of time going to city council meetings in other cities, and in many cases I have found very resistant city councils to people's concepts of what they want to do downtown. And I would say that there's a consistent theme in many of the communities that we work in that city councils often, city governments often are resistant to the work, but it's really the people who want to get it done that persevere and are forward thinking that are able to sort of break that barrier. And more often than not, once that barrier is broken, then it's so much easier to continue on. And I think that, you know, one of the most devastating issues for our downtowns across the Midwest are the second floors of buildings and trying to reimagine how those spaces are going to be used when there are such limiting factors as elevators or other ADA accessible requirements. There are alternatives to that scenario, and there are alternatives that allow second floors to be used. And one of the things that I see over and over again is that once a downtown is able to break the barrier about use of second floors and multiple floors, then that historic revitalization happens. And that's one of the things that does need to happen in Galesburg. We've got to break this down so that we can start using the second floors more of our downtown buildings. And that's something that has to happen at a city government level.
Let me further this with regard to downtown. Obviously, both the properties you're dealing with in Galesburg are downtown, and that was, I'm sure, an intentional action on your part. Why is downtown so important to you?
Well, I mean, I think that we understand that downtowns are the center of our communities, and that's where the life and the heartbeat of a community is. It's not in the shopping malls. It's not in these places that are satellite areas. It's not suburbs. And we have to have a downtown that has a heart and a soul. And it can't just be something that is stamped out in a cookie cutter. Architecture is important. You know, usability is important. And we both, Nicole and I, have traveled extensively in Europe over the last 20 years. And time and again, you know, obviously the communities that people go back to have amazing downtowns. Galesburg has an amazing downtown. And the communities that we work in across the Midwest, you know, where it begins is that downtown. And once that downtown is gone, the community doesn't really exist anymore. So it is the intrinsic fabric of a community. And it has to look and feel good.
Yeah, how vibrant. Like, the downtown is almost a personification, a way of the health of a community, and a way to gauge that health.
Because health isn't Walmart, you know. Health is a well-designed, well-executed, architecturally significant building. And when we look at what the people in Galesburg were trying to do at the latter part of the 19th century, clearly they understood that concept as well. And Galesburg is rare in the fact that it still has so many intact downtown buildings. So there's so much to start with there.
Right. And so you have, I mean, you obviously are focusing on two buildings. And that's, you know, these are significant efforts. And we commend you extensively for that. But how does it fit in the grander vision? I mean, how do you feel it really contributes to maybe the dreams you have for the community that you live in?
Well, I mean, I think architectural significance plays a big part in it. You know, I think that even if we thought about, you know, what attracts people to being in a town downtown, why do they want to be there? Why do they want to live in a community? I mean, I think that just those buildings alone are what they are, you know, as architectural icons, is really important. And it's really important to Galesburg fabric from a tourism standpoint. And I think, too, that they also bring with them, like, a sense of history and a sense of permanence. And that's also really important. People need to feel good about where they live. And I think that buildings like that do that.
They make people feel like they belong to something bigger than just themselves, you know. And certainly the buildings that we have are different than buildings in other places. You know, they're individual and unique to Galesburg.
Absolutely.
I mean, in a sense, we're really talking about the downtown kind of building from the inside out. Peter and I are emphasizing neighborhoods and having a vibrant downtown, and then streaming out from that to having vibrant neighborhoods and parks. That's kind of, I think, where we're at. And obviously you two play into that scenario very well.
Yeah, we believe in that scenario. And it's, you know, as we said before, we've seen so many wonderful examples of that whole thing playing out so well for so many people.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Galesburg is very uniquely poised. You know, we still have really good train service to Chicago. We're so close to both of those larger cities. I think Nicole and I, in the larger picture, larger vision, really think that Galesburg is on a precipice isn't quite the right word, but it's very close. Very close to something happening. We both really believe that people are going to start reimagining and coming back to these communities in the Midwest. We've started to see it for the last 25 or 30 years in small amounts, but we think it's going to happen, and we think Galesburg's very close. And if we want it to be what it can be, we have to save these buildings. We have to make them live again. And that's really important.
Thank you, Rick and Nicole. Do you have any closing thoughts for our audience?
I think Rick and I are just really excited, and we feel grateful that we've been able to find space downtown that's so inspiring, and that, you know, even if we have a lot of plans, a lot of pots on the fire, and even if they all don't come to fruition, we both feel really good that we're able to leave the buildings in better condition than when we...
Yeah, I mean, I think that the way we envision that is we're just the current stewards of those two structures, and what we want to do is leave them better than we found them, which for our purposes is just to really reinvigorate them and restore them to what they were. And we hope that that's a model for other people downtown to do the same thing to their buildings. And so we would like to imagine that we're modeling that behavior. And we also feel that way about our farm with local produce. We feel that local produce and local food products, I guess, are really important. And we want to continue to model that behavior, because once it's modeled and it's proven that it can be done, then we hope everybody else or other people will join in. So I think we're looking to see who's going to be next, who's going to do the next project like that. And we hope that we're helping lead the way for that.
Well, that's a fitting closing. You guys are doing that, and that's we're very happy to have you as our lead interview for this new segment we're doing. You know, COVID's made it much more difficult for us to have our regular podcast. So we really thank you, Rick and Nicole, for joining us today, and we look forward to supporting your efforts in any way we can. It's fascinating. It's fantastic, and I'll tell you, to hear two of you, both of you, are so you know. You must wake up every day with you know, great pride, but also with great enthusiasm for the next task at hand. And you know, to be able to do that every day is a blessing.
Thank you. We appreciate that, and we feel the same way.
Indeed.
Thanks a lot. We'll include you wherever we can.
All right. Thank
bye-bye.
You.